live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, it's Sunday. So you've caught me a little bit unawares here because I've just scared the cat because she's just scared me. So what's happened is I've come into the recording room and out of the corner of my eye, I see this little thing move and I shriek. It's the cat's tail. So my shriek makes the cat run. So we scared each other and now we're just staring at each other as if to say, who's in the wrong here? Well, let me tell you, my feline friend, it's me. I'm definitely in the wrong. I apologise, cat. Do you accept my apology? I'll take that slow turn away as a yes. How are you all doing, guys? I hope you're all doing wonderfully well. It is Sunday. It's a bit of a different Sunday this week. Our patrons know why. And that is because to say that I'm ramped at work and snowed under is a complete understatement. I know that's no information of any use to use at all, but it is for the next part. Because what I'm going to say now is it means I just don't have time to record an episode for today. I really wish I did. If I did, it means I'd be doing it literally at midnight after working solidly for about maybe 18 hours, something like that. And no one wants that. Be honest, nobody wants that. So I've managed to find a little bit of downtime to record a bit of an intro, which is this, and also record a Patreon episode for our wonderful Patreons. So what I thought I'd do instead, guys, is do a little intro for this, and I will play instead a Patreon episode, one that you won't have heard if you're not a Patreon. And obviously, if you are a Patreon, don't worry, because you're still getting a Patreon episode today. So we will all be Patreons for this very special day, and it's a one-off, and I hope you forgive me for having no standard episode out. But if you're a Patreon, you're still going to get an episode. And if you're not a Patreon, you're still going to hear an episode that you've never heard before. So everyone's a bit of a winner. Petit déjeuner. That's right, breakfast. And yeah, and if you've signed up to Patreon, I won't be singing your name in this show, of course, for obvious reasons. But I will in the next show. And if you want to sign up to Patreon to see what all the fuss is about, which you're about to find out, really, go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. That's patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. I will be over my hectic week next week, and I will be back with you as per normal, or as per usual. Here's a little funny side note. Becca, when I first met her, used to think that as per usual meant every other time, which was amazing for me because she's the most intelligent person I've literally ever met. So when she was like, doesn't that mean every other time? I was like, oh my God, it's something I know that you don't. So it's a very short-lived and very cheap victory. But I do hope that you're all staying well. Stay well till next week when I will give you a full and proper episode. In the meantime, please listen to Kev from the past, with an old Patreon episode to fill your boots, because I will still always endeavour to put content out, even if I can't physically do it myself. And for our Patreons, you lucky things will have a normal episode. Anyway, I'll catch you next week. I love you all. Tatty bye. But here's me coming back as my past self. But tatty bye for now.
Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts.
Patreon podcast.
With Kevin Eustace.
Yes, it's time for your Patreon podcast of the week. It's Sunday. It's a Patreon time. That sounded like I was like an Italian man. It's a Patreon time. It's a time for your Patreon. Is that racist? I'm not sure. Anyway, moving swiftly on, what have we got in store for you in this Patreon episode? Well, as you may have heard on the main episode, I went a-delving round the internet, as you do, and I came across a series of interviews from the 1970s from regional TV company ATV. I think they're now defunct, but they basically looked after central England and a bit northwest, up north really as well. And on this little site that I found, you could search, there was a search engine, you could put in any topic and it would bring up videos if they carried out interviews during the 70s on that topic. And lo, there were a series of interviews about ghosts and hauntings, mainly in the workplace. But what is interesting about these videos is the hysterical, because it's all 1970s style. So, you know, if you've ever seen the original Amityville, which of course you have, there's like, you know, the scene where he's cutting wood, where George Lutz is cutting wood, and it goes on for about 6 minutes, because in the 70s and early 80s, it was allowed that you could just have long swathes of dead TV where nothing much was happening. these interviews were a bit like that. So I've had to edit them down. And I jump in with my comments on whether I think something's funny. For example, there's a very funny name of a former owner of a knitting warehouse, which you'll hear shortly, which is very funny. So yeah, it was really good. So it made me think what I'm probably going to do in the upcoming months. I'm going to put together a little series of videos where I'll show you these actual videos. So today's just the audio from them, but they're still that good. But I'm going to put together a little series of videos with me on the videos, commenting about the videos in a bit of a jokey style. But some of the stories, as you'll hear, are actually really good. Really good and really scary. Okay, of course, as well, today we're going to spin that wheel, spin that wheel, spin that wheel, and find out just whom or who has won the signed copy of our book, of our True Ghost Listener Story, Ghost Listener Story? True Listener Ghost Stories book that we brought out last year. We're going to send one of you wonderful Patreons a signed copy of that book. Yes, we will. We'll get that out in the post to whoever wins it. And we'll be doing the draw for that at the end of this show. Yes, we will. How exciting. And then we'll put the video of that up on the Facebook page as well, just so that everyone can see that it's been done fairly and legitimately. And all you have to do is like the post, which is a few posts below this. We're going to do another one in a couple of weeks, I think. Maybe for the same prize, maybe for something different. I just don't know. But yeah, so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at some of these old TV interviews. I think they're really good, you know, and it's this site. I'll divulge what the site is next week because I need to check something on it first before I start giving it out. I'm sure I can. I just want to double check with the people who've set it up. Because it's like it looks like it's a college or a university like project sort of thing. So I don't know. I don't even know whether I can share them. But I can definitely share them on Patreon because I doubt that people who've set this up are Patreons of this show. And if they are, I might get my eye wiped and sued. Who knows? Anyway. Let's have our first one. We're going to do it like in series format. So there's going to be about five that we're going to look at. Okay, so this first one then is from 1978 and it's a ghost of Silver Hill Colliery. If you don't know what a colliery, I'm not even saying that right, but a colliery, is it? I don't know. Anyway, it's a coal pit. It's what we call a coal pit here in the UK. So this is Silver Hill's Colliery Ghost and it's an interview, as all these are, from ATV, which is now defunct channel, I think, in the Midlands area or central England. And yeah, this is an interview with the people who work at the colliery about their ghost.
No, it's not at all unusual. Over the years, there have been reports and legends of ghosts at various pits, particularly the older ones. And it's hardly surprising when you consider the conditions miners work in, often alone and in darkness, illuminated only by the light of their cap lamps, and in such circumstances the imagination can play tricks on one.
Do you think it is all in the mind?
There may be some element of practical joking sometime. One can't say categorically what is the case in every particular incident, but certainly I'm a bit sceptical about tales of ghosts.
Now, here's an interesting thing. This pops up on all these interviews. Anyone who's in like a position of authority within that company, there's like some foreman, there's some managers, there's some overall company owners getting interviewed on these clips. But they all kind of like go, oh, but I don't believe in stuff like that and stuff like that. And it's really interesting. Whereas most of the female workers, they're all male, these fellas, obviously, because it's the 70s. But all the female workers seem to be like, yes, it's bloody real and we're all going to die. Anyway, let's find out what actually happened. What is the story of the ghost?
What exactly happened at Silver Hill Colliery?
Well, it said this 19-year-old young man went into work with two other men and he stopped at his point of work and the other two men went towards the coal face. And shortly afterwards, a man came from the direction of the coal face and said that he'd left his snap bag at the coal face. So the young man said he'd call up the other two men and ask them to pick it up. But when he called them on the communication system, they said they'd not passed anybody. And the young man then says he turned to the man who made the inquiry and he disappeared. And at that, the young man became quite distressed and left the pit and I understand had to receive treatment for shock.
Now, this is why I love ghost stories from like workplaces in the 70s and stuff like that. Because when nowadays you hear someone say they seen a ghost or they saw a ghost and they required treatment for shock. Yes, they saw a ghost and it so disturbed them they had to go and get medical assistance to get through it. Not me, but there's a legend anyway attached to the colliery, so let's have a listen to that.
But isn't there a legend of a ghost at Silver Hill Colliery?
Yes, I think it's a bit of a joke. There's supposed to be a ghost called Flapcap. Well, if he was down there, he'd be in breach of the regulations, and certainly the current ghost seems to be wearing the proper equipment. He had a helmet on.
Amazing. Well done, sir. Yes. If he was wearing a flat cap, he'd be in breach of regulations. We'd have to hand him his cards. That's ridiculous. It's amazing. Well done. I look, this is the 70s. It's like, well, oh, you seen a ghost? Did he have on right regulated equipment? Did he not have a hard hat on? Well, I'm afraid if you see him again, you're going to have to send him to me. It's just fantastic. I love these. So that was the ghost of Silver Hill Colliery. Yes, it was. Collieries are a very interesting thing. There's some up here in the northwest. Obviously, there's quite a few, actually, mainly around the St. Helens / Wiggany sort of areas. And my dad, they were still all going before the Tories got rid of them in the 80s. And my dad said he used to drive past a particular pit, a coal pit in St. Helens. And he said there was like, there was a specific way that they'd sit. They'd sit on the haunches. So, you know, like, I can't really describe it, but, you know, kind of like if you just squat right down, so your bum's like 2 inches off the floor, if that. And he said that's how they'd sit, like, for hours. Like, if they, you know, because they had nothing to sit on. But they developed, they developed this way of sitting, like a weird Tibetan sort of monk, I suppose. So, yes, that is a ghost from the colliery. Yes, Silver Hill Colliery. Let's have another one. And now I love this next one because it's a ghost called Old Sid. Yes. And he haunts Cosley Swimming Baths. This is from 1978. But when you eventually see the video that I'll put together, you need to look at this video because it's amazing. It's like a proper 70s news clip, you know, where they go out to a roving reporter in the field because the guy's proper bought into this story. So like I've had to edit it down. There's like a 2 minute long clip where he's not talking, he's not doing, which is a lot of, in these things, there's a lot of these sort of long gaps with nothing happening in it. So I've had to edit it down. But in this one, there's a long, like 3 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute sort of period where he's just getting changed to go in the swimming baths and he's whistling away and the lights go off and he's like, pops his head out. No, goes back into the changing rooms. The lights go back on and off again. And then there's like the rattle of some of the hangers in the changing rooms. And he's really bought into doing this. Like, they clearly went, oh, there's meant to be a ghost in the bath. Just go and look at it, will you? And do a little report. Okay, well, if I'm going, I'm going to make it Oscar worthy. So it's fantastic. I can't wait to show you that video. But this is the ghost, Old Sid, of Crosley Baths or Cosley Baths. Now, I've included the first bit because it's amazing. Listen to him just going in and paying in to get into the baths.
One for the baths, please.
20p, please.
Thank you.
Take care, won't you?
Right out of a Scooby-Doo thing. Firstly, it's 20p to go for a swim, which is just ridiculous prices. It's about £5.20 now. Anyway, but then that, take care, won't you? And he like looks at him as if to say, we're having an undisclosed chat here without speaking out of me. Our eyes are saying more than ever we could say. Take care, won't you? And she's basically, what she's not saying is, because Old Sid's around and he's going to freak you out. Anyway, what transpires next on this amazing interview is he's in his trunks now, the reporter, and he's got a towel around his neck and he's standing at the pool. There's no one else in the pool and he's dipping his toe in and then the manager comes along to discuss the ghost. Now, talk about someone who's trying to buy into this like Oscar-winning performance. It's like Peter Kay. And if you don't know who Peter Kay is, and you guys in the States, he's like a northern comedian who does a lot of northern sitcoms and he's brilliant. He's dead funny. But this guy's like a Peter Kay character. He's fantastic. He just buys into this whole dramatic effect that's going on. He's like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you here first? As opposed to just saying, my name's Trevor and I run the baths and there's a ghost. It's amazing. Listen to this.
Ooh, lovely. First in today, then?
Yes, morning. A bit ruffled, isn't it? You're not the first, really.
Not the first? Who's been in before me?
Sid's been in before you have.
Who's old Sid?
Sid? You haven't heard of old Sid? Our ghost. Cosley Bath's ghost.
Ghost?
Yes, I've got a ghost. We have a ghost in here. Bath, didn't you know that?
Amazing. He's like my new favourite person in the world, this manager of the Bats. Aye, we have a ghost in here. Didn't you know? Didn't you know we had a ghost? Where have you been, child? Where have you been? Anyway, then they continue to talk about what's gone on.
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because some strange things have been happening to me in the changing room over there, with lights going up and doors banging, all sorts of things.
Yeah, that's true. That happens, yeah. Lights goes off and all.
But why do you think a ghost is attracted to a swimming pool? It seems a bit strange, doesn't it? It's not very old, is it, this place?
No, it's 40 years old, but of course it's warm, you know. He can have a swim, get a shower when he wants, you know, things like this, of course. No no worries at all.
He's very active, though, isn't he? He gets everywhere.
Oh, yeah, so he's a good swim. A bit look of it, be the ripples of the water we get on the night and in the morning, you know. I mean, this is the sort of thing that one expects, you know.
Wow. I think we can all agree that this guy is amazing. In all of my research of ghosts and all of your stories that you've sent in and everything that we've probably all collectively looked at, never in the history of the topic of ghosts has anyone, when asked, why do you think this place is haunted, turned around and said, well, it's lovely in here. We got a swimming pool. It's warm. He can have a swim. He can go about his day. He's not cold. Do you know what I mean? This guy's going to open a hotel for ghosts, I think. And if he does, I want the penthouse suite, pretty please. But he's just amazing. This guy, he's fantastic. He does eventually get serious. I think we're going to go into that bit shortly. But he does eventually say exactly what's gone on. But not before Sid makes an appearance. Now, of course, he doesn't. But this just puts the shine on how good this interview is. They clearly throw something in the pool and then go, what was that? Was that Sid? Aye, that was Sid. That he's having a splash. He's having a little move around. So this is that part.
Does he use the diving boards, does he?
Well, I've never seen him, obviously.
What was that?
I don't know. Could be old Sid, of course. You never know. One night I came in here about 11:30. I walked down the changing room, puts the lights on. The door suddenly flung open, frightened the bloody life out of me, they did. And then I went down, got to the end, and the lights went off. Of course, I charged out, you know, thinking somebody there. Of course, nobody at all.
Because fortunately, it's not just you, is it? I mean, everybody else in this place thinks that there's a ghost.
Most of the staff, yes. One of my staff went down to clean the toilets one morning about 7:30. It was dark, obviously, you know. And, of course, he seen it. It passed him, frightened him to death.
What's he look like, this chap? Old Sid.
Well, old Sid is biggest chap, you know, we don't really know. He passes, you know, two or three times so fast, so, you know, you don't really get a vision of what he looks like, you know. But the female attendant has also seen him three or four times.
Oh, come on, do you believe in ghosts, really?
I'm beginning to do, yes. Yes, I am. I'm beginning to wonder there's something about, you know, about the job, really. Yes, I am. It's not a thing that really happens to one, is it?
I love that part there where he's asked what he looked like and he jumps right in. Oh, he's a big guy. And then he's like, goes, no one really knows what he looks like, do they? And then there's a fantastic bit coming up now. Honestly, I cannot wait to put this video together to show you because, the reporter and this wonderful new favourite guy of mine, they start walking away from the pool and it's the end of the interview. But then he implies that Sid, this is the reporter, he implies that Sid has pushed him into the pool. It's comedy genius and it just deserves the best actor Oscar. Here we go.
Bill, it's not that I'm a coward or anything, but I don't think I'm going to have a swim today. I don't know what it is. I think I'll just call it a day, all right?
Well, that's up to you. I didn't touch you. Come on, get out. It'd be old Sid.
I didn't touch you. Come on, get out. It'll be old Sid. Good old Sid. Comes in for a warm and paper. Honest to God, he's amazing, this guy. You know what is really like kind of eerie watching these videos, though? Is that when you see them interviewing old fellas on it, like, or old women, you know, like on this interview where they're talking to my new favourite person in the world. He's clearly dead now. You know, as horrible as that is. That was like, what, 1978, was it? Or 74, one of the two. And so you're looking like, what, 30 years would be 2008? So about 50 years, between 40 and 50 years ago. This guy's in his 60s there. So he might not be dead, you know what I mean? But there's a good chance the majority of people that you're going to listen to are now dead, which is a little bit eerie, don't you think? Anyway, that guy's a legend and I'm getting a poster of him. I definitely am. I'm going to get his face blown up and be like, hey, get out my swimming pool. Let's have some lengths. So he's great. Let's have another. Right, this next one is an interview from a kettle factory in 1974, and they're haunted also. They're all workplaces, these, by the way. And this guy, again, is a bit of a legend. Listen to how he explains how he's always thought about kettles. If you're looking for someone to segue kettles into ghosts, this is the perfect way to segue a kettle. You know, you just make a cup of tea with it or a cup of coffee. This is how you segue a kettle into ghosts.
Eerie place, this, isn't it? Well, perhaps, like me, you've always associated kettles with the clanking of metal and weird whistling sounds.
What? Now, listen, I've watched many episodes of Family Fortunes, or I think it's Family Feud in America. Anyway, I've watched many episodes of that where they say, we asked 100 people, if they said we asked 100 people what you think of when you think of a kettle, I guarantee you, if you said, is it clanking metal? They go, they go, no, have another go. Is it weird whistling noises? There's this guy, it's perfect segue. Like, you know, talk about crowbar and something in. There's no way on earth that that's what he thinks of when he thinks about kettles. Anyway, let's get back to his interview.
But things here are rather different. In fact, the kind of goings on in this office make the Exorcist look like Mickey Mouse.
Sorry, I had to jump back in there. They make the Exorcist look like Mickey Mouse. So are you bracing yourselves for something that is, in this guy's mind, scarier than the devil himself possessing a young child and killing a few people in the process? Are you ready for that? Okay? Clearly, it's got to be much more scary than clanking sounds and weird whistling noises. Let's see.
People have heard weird footsteps along the floorboards, rattling milk bottles. And, believe it or not, even this kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, that's right. This guy thinks scarier than The Exorcist would be if... So let's just put this into The Exorcist film. We'll remove the demon possessing Reagan and the priest doing an exorcism and poltergeist activity to the nth degree and people being murdered by demonic forces. We'll remove all of that. And instead, The Exorcist will be a few footsteps, a few milk bottles clanging, and, of course, the odd toilet flush. I think we can all agree, this activity here does make The Exorcist look like Mickey Mouse. I'm being facetious, aren't I? But he did oversell that, didn't he? Let's be honest. Okay, anyway, now we get to one of the employees' stories. And I like the employee stories because it seems to be all the women in these little interviews. They seem to be very authentic. And the men just seem to be like, well, I don't believe in it all, you know. As long as he's got right clothing on, then I'm not bothered. But anyway, this is one of the employees' stories.
And I heard these footsteps, heavy, behind me, like, and I stopped and looked round, and there was nothing, nobody there. And that, I carried on, and that continued till I got to the top of the stairs. So I stood for a minute or two, you know. And then, only then, I suddenly thought about some of the things that I had heard about, and I suddenly thought, oh, I could get pushed down the stairs here, and I stood for a little minute or two, and then I felt a presence as though there was somebody quite close to me, didn't touch me. And then I just said, you know, started down the stairs, and I looked back again, but there's still, I didn't see anyone at all.
Now, what you will see, she's a lovely little lady, and what you will see when I put the video thing together is when the bit where she says, I could have been thrown down the stairs, she has a massive grin on her face, like she was really disappointed, you know, really excited to the fact that she could have been thrown down the stairs. It's like, oh, I could have been thrown downstairs. I thought, I'm ground here, and I'll insult the devil himself and see if he'll chuck me downstairs. A little bit of fun on me working day. Now, what you'll hear next is this guy's clear obsession with... He must have an absolute paranoia and fear about toilet flushes. He really must, because he's already said that that makes it scarier than The Exorcist, the fact that the toilet flushed. And he just can't let it go.
Other people have talked about lavatories flushing when there's no one there. Yes, have you come across this kind of thing?
No, I haven't. I have heard these things, you know.
Well, when I opened the door on this morning about 6:30, I came in here and I seen a lot of glass and... teapots and kettles and stuff on the floor. And this door was partly open like this. And this was a pane of glass which was across in there, which is, you can see, very thick glass. And it's been all smashed across the floor here. If it had to fall down there, you'd expect, you know, just fall down. This was out with everything cleared out of here onto the floor.
Now, could anyone else have got into this office apart from you?
No.
Now, I will say this. That guy who was talking there, he seems genuine and he seems genuinely scared. It's like he looks like a caretaker sort of guy, and he's clearly in his caretaker's little office, and he's got a look of absolute fear on his face when the guy says, like, can anyone else get any? And he's like, no, just me. He looks genuinely scared. So I know it was a bit difficult to make out what he was saying there. I think part of his accent, part because of the recording equipment in the 70s. But yeah, he's quite convincing, if I'm being perfectly honest. Now, you're going to hear one of the bosses now and talk about someone trying to give like an absolute corporate answer to exorcism questions. It's amazing. Listen to this.
Suggested that you should get a ministrant to exorcise this spirit.
Yes, I understand the same. We have a problem there, of course, that we've probably got about 15 religions in the factory, so do we get 15 ministers in, or do we get all the religions to agree on one minister to do the exorcising, you see?
Have you ever heard a more corporate answer to the paranormal? It's amazing. I mean, we get that in our place all the time, not to do with exorcisms, you know, but it's kind of like, can I take a day's holiday next week? Well, you see, you can, but you know, there's a lot of people who want a day's holiday. If you have to give you a day's holiday, then I have to give everyone a day's holiday. And therefore, what do you want to do? Ask everyone if they can all agree who should have the day's holiday. That's basically what he's done there, but with the paranormal. So hats off to that CEO of that company there. That was fantastic. Okay, let's delve back into the 70s for yet another interview. Okay, so next we're going to a knitwear factory in 1973, yes. Now, unlike the swimming pool guy who's like, I'm going to star in this from start to finish in my cosy, in my swimming costume, baby. This one just jumps in with interviews with the staff and stuff. However, it does have one of the greatest former owners of the company's names. Listen out for it. It'll be obvious when it comes on because I'm going to jump in and mention it. But it's amazing. Anyway, this is one of the employees' stories.
Well, there were three of us one morning about 7:45, and we're waiting to get into the factory, and we're talking amongst ourselves, and one of the girls, she just stopped talking, and I said, what's the matter? And she just said, it's in the lift. So I said, what's in the lift? And we just sort of turned round, and there's sort of a shape. Nothing, you know, you could actually say there was a figure there, just rose up and then went down, just like smoke.
Now, like I said earlier, the women in these interviews seem to be more authentic. And what I love about her little speech there is the fact that she doesn't try and like embellish it. She doesn't say there was a man in the lift or there was a figure. She's like, it wasn't a figure. We couldn't make out what it was. It was a shape. It was a shape of smoke and it just went up. It's so authentic. I've just got a shiver saying that because it's like she's just literally saying what she's seen. It's like catchphrase. She's just saying what she says. So yeah, she really, she made me a believer of this little story. We're now going to hear the boss of the time of that knitwear factory telling us a little bit about the history of the place, which is very interesting. And then we learn, obviously, the name of the former owner.
Well, the story goes that in the old days, it was a knitting mill. It was one of the largest in the country in the 1890s. And JW, as we're calling, that's Mr. Bastard, who was the head of the firm.
Did you get it? That's right. The former owner was called Mr. Bastard. Or Mr. Bastard, if you will, please. Please pronounce my name properly. It's Bastard. You don't get many bastards about these days, do you? No, not since the court allowed you to change your name. Now, you'll hear in the next part that, unfortunately, he met an untimely end. The poor bastard.
He committed suicide on the premises, in which is now our knitting room. And
how did he commit suicide?
He hung himself in the offices, and seemingly over a lady, and seemingly he's never rested.
Oh, the poor guy. What a poor bastard. He killed himself over a lady. How very 18th century, well, 19th century. How very like, oh, I shan't live anymore. I wonder if she said, I can't be with you, bastard, for our sons and daughters will all be bastards. Maybe. He's like, oh, you're right. Even if we marry before birth, they'll still be bastards. Perhaps. But either way, that's sad, isn't it? Yes, it is. Anyway, what you're going to hear next is another description of exorcism in terms of the fact they've got an exorcist in apparently in this place. And it makes me think in the 70s, exorcists must have had no free time because they seemingly everywhere in every northern factory, they must have like an on-call exorcist. And as has happened in this place, they also got an exorcist in.
Well, the Archdeacon's been called in, he's carried out an exorcism, but do you really think it's going to make any difference?
Mine, I'm hoping that he has gone, but then again, he's been a good friend to us because he's become part and parcel of the firm. And everyone has been quite happy about him and treated it I just joke, you see. But now the joke's gone, so what we're going to do now, I don't know.
Talk about a mixed message. So, well, everyone likes him. He's part of the family, you know, and he makes everyone feel good, really. So we got an exorcist in to get rid of him. But now we're sad because if he's gone, we all treated him as a joke, Mr. Bastard. We treated him as a bit of a joke, and now the joke's gone. So we'll have to employ someone with sense of humour. So I don't know. I don't know. But what a wonderful little tale there in your knitwear factory. Amazing. Let's have Juan Moore. This one is, I think it's the oldest of the lot. This is 1972, and it's a pottery warehouse in Stoke-on-Trent. Yes, it is. So let's see what this has got to offer.
Well, it was the footsteps we heard first. They came the full length of the corridor. They stopped. We heard this cough, and we saw a shadow, a dark shadow. And then the footsteps continued. And when the footsteps stopped, it was then that I could run down to have a look for myself, that there was what was there or if there was anything there. And there wasn't. But I couldn't continue because it seemed as though I'd hit this block of ice. I went stone cold, and for a few seconds, I just couldn't move.
Now, I don't know about you, but that genuinely gives me shivers. That is one of the best little descriptions of a workplace ghost ever. And what the hell is this block of ice that you ran into? You know, and you just couldn't move. This is amazing in terms of an anecdotal, first-person anecdotal ghost experience, albeit from 1972. I mean, how do you can't mistake that. It's not corner of the eye phenomenon, is it? It's you running into something icy cold and being unable to move past it. Amazing. So then we hear from her friend who stood next to her.
What about you, Mrs. Thompson? How did you feel?
Well, same as I say, I couldn't move. I just couldn't do anything at all.
What, you were rooted to the spot here?
I just rooted to the spot. I couldn't move at all, no.
Well, will you carry on working here now, or are you going to give up your jobs?
If they can lay it, whatever it is, or put it at peace like Mr. Higgins said, yes, we'd continue here. But if we thought we'd got to see it again, no.
Isn't that interesting? It's people going on record. I mean, I wouldn't do that now. If somebody said to me, if this on tape, if this changes in your workplace, will you leave if it doesn't change? Sorry. And I wouldn't say, yeah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave if they don't sort that out. Because I wouldn't want the managers seeing it and being like, oh my God, listen to this fellow just saying he's going to leave if we don't pull our weight. I wouldn't do it now in 2021. This is 1972 where you could get sacked at the drop of a hat for nothing, for looking at someone the wrong way. And these ladies are on tape for the news report going, yeah, if they don't get rid of the ghost, we're not going to work here anymore. It's amazing. It's such a good story. Now, where the comedy comes into this is we're about to hear from a guy who's a self-professed medium. And he's the most well-spoken English medium, dressed full in 70s finery that you could imagine. Listen to him. He's fantastic.
Mr. Higginson, what have you found out today?
Well, when I first came, coming along, I was not so sure it was going to be a genuine manifestation because so many that we brought out to, we find that they're really a figment of the imagination, or you can find some cause or natural means that makes it that it was not quite genuine. But when I got here, I was aware that there certainly was a manifestation. It was not a sort of evil thing. It was someone that certainly wanted to communicate and had tried to impress people of her that she was here. But she's a lady that's worked here and has passed away, and I know who it is.
So there you go. He's a very well-spoken man, bit of a cad. But he does now know, you know, he's got down into the nitty-gritty. He's just said there, and he has a big smile on his face when he says this. He says, quite clearly, I think we can all agree, I know who it is. I know who it is. Does he now? Let's see.
I don't know entirely her full name, but I do know that it's a lady that worked here has been passed away very, very suddenly.
I mean, I could have a stab in the dark that it was a former employee. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be doing a big grin and going, I know who it is. Oh, really? Who is it? I don't know the name. I know they used to work here and they died very suddenly. Most people die very suddenly these days. Do you know, no one goes, well, he was shot in the leg and he bled out on the floor over the course of 3 hours. It's, you know, most people, death is a sudden thing, isn't it, really? Anyway. I'm probably being a bit facetious with him. Let's see what more this very, very posh medium has to say.
And was a very happy person, and was round about 55 to 60 years of age.
But this is the 20th century. Can you honestly expect people to still go on believing in ghosts in this day and age?
Now, there's a question and a half, isn't it? I mean, fair play to this journalist, because, you know, he could have very easily been like, well, you're done up to the nines. You're clearly very posh. I can't question what you do for a living, of course. But he didn't. He was like, don't you think it's a bit silly to believe in ghosts? And this answer is actually very good. Very good.
Well, I think we perhaps believe not in actual ghosts, but that man survives the grave because there are too many of us that know that it's true. And when you come to think there are over 3 million people in Great Britain that believe in it, there must be something in it, and of course there is.
Well done, Mr. Posh Psychic. I do like that answer. Not necessarily the, well, we don't necessarily believe in ghosts part, but I do like the, we more believe that man survives the grave. Very good. Or woman, of course. Sexist little boy in the 70s there.
Well, Marjorie, you've confirmed what Mr. Higginson thought. What did you tell him?
Well, I didn't tell him anything, actually. He told me, and he described the person as she really was.
Well, what sort of person was she?
She was a very nice person. She worked here for quite a while. We all got on very well together, and she was very happy at work.
When did she die?
12 months on the 19th of May, last May.
Now, that was the twist. Yes, I was mocking this little psychic chappy before, where he's like, and I know who it is. But there's a worker at the firm there who's saying, yeah, he described her to a T. She died 12 months ago, and we all got on like a house on fire. But it does make you think, why would this be the person who's freaking everyone out? Especially if she's now that strong, she can form this ice wall and make people freeze at the spot. But for me, that's excellent first, what do you call it? First-hand anecdotal evidence of a medium getting it right and a genuine haunting.
Now, do you believe in ghosts? And do you believe that it is her who's haunting the factory?
Well, I didn't, and in fact, I've really laughed and joked about it. But as Mr. Higginson described the person to me, I'm thinking again.
So there you go. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the ghost of the pottery ghost in Stoke-on-Trent. And Mr. Higginson there doing everyone a favour of the paranormal community by converting someone from a sceptic to a believer by literally saying, no, no, it is your former friend. Didn't give a name. He's like, your former friend. Yes, he died 12 months ago. Yes, she's around 55, 60. Yes, a very happy person. But now she goes around building walls of ice and making you all freeze to the spot because secretly she hated you all. Yes. Isn't that amazing, though? Fantastic. So that concludes our looking at workplaces in the 1970s, which feature ghosts and were featured on television back in the day. And like I say, I'm possibly going to do like a few YouTube videos or a little series of them, about 10 minutes long, just with what you've heard there, but with visuals, because you have missed out on so much comedy due to these interviews, not, you know, just being audio, not being able to see the full effect. Because some of them are just laugh out loud. Like there's some haircuts doing the rounds in the 70s there that make you fall off your chair. And some which you think, I'm going to do that myself. There's one guy, he's got like a line of grey going round his hair. You don't see this haircut nowadays. It's like he's dyed it from the bottom up to this line and then left this line, then dyed the rest. And I'm genuinely thinking I might do this. It looks like Uncle Fester. That's amazing. Anyway, why are we all here? Why are we all at the end of the show? Why have so many people skipped the entire episode just to get to this point, you may ask? Well, that's because we're about to spin the magical wheel of Ishra. Yes, the wheel of justice, to find out just who is the winner of our signed book. Well, let's click that wheel and find out. I've now got the wheel up. I'm recording at the same time. Oh, no, I'm not with the... I'm recording this video at the same time as I'm doing the Patreon episode so that we can all check this is legit and we can do all that sort of stuff. Anyway, I'm about to click spin on the wheel. I'm clicking spin. Oh, it's making a sound. Let's see who's won. Who's won the book? It is... it's Corinne Wilson. We have a winner. Well done, Corinne. You have yourself a signed book of the book that we released. Book. That we need to talk about books. That we need to talk about ghosts. Volume 1, True Listener Ghost Stories, on its way to Kareem Wilson. Well done, Kareem. So, there you go. Thank you, everyone, for taking part. We'll be doing another quiz in a couple of weeks' time. And, yeah, that's the end of this episode. Make sure that you all look after yourself, take care of yourselves and each other. Tatty bye.